Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead, and welcome back to hour number two across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board. Glad to have you along on a TGIF, December 15th, 2023. Welcome back into hour number two, Mr. Zommers. Great to have Brady Ewing back on the show. We appreciate him taking his time.
Yeah, it's been far too long, so I'm happy we got to have him back on.
Yeah, and then we are just, we're texting here. It appears, by the way, next week on Friday, our special Christmas show. So we're putting together a cast of all-stars, and I believe now Brady has confirmed he'll be joining us for the special Christmas program.
Now we just got to ship everyone here to Madison.
All right. Wouldn't that be great? We'll have all kinds of festivities. Hey, we're looking forward to next week. It'd be great, by the way. On Monday, we have State Senator Kelda Royce joining us on the program, talking about women's reproductive rights on Monday. On Tuesday, it's a special two-hour show, as we will have Brigadier General David May, the commanding officer of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, on. He's going to be bringing some guests with him. And here's the big news, and this is an exclusive that rarely happens. General David May, Brigadier General David May, is going to be taking your phone calls. So if you have questions concerning the Wisconsin Air National Guard, what their mission is, what they're up to, what it's like to be a member of the Guard, as Matt Flynn says, all callers welcome. So Brigadier General David May will be taking phone calls from you, answering your questions right here on this show on Tuesday. And then it's going to be a little general music, as we say, because it turns out that General May is a big music aficionado. And so we're going to be asking him to give us his top 10 or so playlist, and we'll be talking music in the last part of the show as well. So I'm really looking forward to this.
I think it's going to be a great show, and yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of questions people have.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have that on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, President Joe Biden is going to be visiting Milwaukee. We're going to cover that. It may happen during our show. So we have Trygve Olson, our regular guest, going to be with us, but we may also be covering the Biden event during our show on Wednesday. Thursday, Luke Mathers was so kind to change his day from Tuesday to Thursday next week. So it'll be Thursday Tangents with Luke Mathers, among perhaps a couple other guests. And then Friday, our big Christmas program. So a big week next week.
You're going to want to block out noon to two every day next week.
Yes,
I mean, you already do, of course.
Well, right. But... Wouldn't it be great if I didn't? Just In fact, well, on Wednesday, the show, of course, was recorded. We recorded the show, and I was sitting at my desk about quarter after noon, waiting for this meeting to start. And Terry Bell says, aren't you supposed to be on the air? I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah, it was really weird. I actually stayed home on Wednesday, which
felt odd.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I still got stuff done. I still did plenty of work, but at my kitchen table.
Well, we're always happy to have each and every one of you along with us from noon until 2 each and every Monday through Friday. Coming up at 1:30 today, our friend Peter Rapine making his biweekly appearance. He is the managing editor of eBombs World and taking a lighter look at the week in review. So kind of the stories that you may have missed this week. One of the stories that we did not try to miss, and we're going to get into right now at 10 past the hour of 1 o'clock. I mentioned this yesterday, and sometimes I get so wrapped up in calls on the show, I forget what's right in front of my face. And so I said we were going to talk about this, then I forgot to do it. So I wanted to mention, just to kind of button up this whole story we've been covering now for over a year regarding the University of Wisconsin system and, of course, the debacle that was the Board of Regents vote last Saturday. And then again, this week, they were going to strike down the deal between President Rothman and Robin Voss, and then they approved it. And we've discussed that ad nauseum, and so I don't want that to be the focus of this. This is kind of a sub-story that a lot of people missed, but is very important. And it's from the great reporting of Jesse Apoyan, and Kelly Meyerhofer at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Headline, UW Regents closed session likely breached open meeting guidance. Legislative attorneys find. A closed-door meeting on Tuesday of the University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents may have flouted legal guidelines for compliance with the state's open meeting law, according to a new memo from the nonpartisan Legislative Council. For those that aren't familiar, the Legislative Council, or Leg Council, as it's more commonly referred to, is the office that contains several lawyers that serve all of the members of the legislature, both the Assembly and the Senate. And these attorneys in Leg Council are not partisan. They don't work for one party or the other. They serve at the pleasure or for the entire legislature. So when your representative or senator hears from you and they say, well, we need a law to change that or to fix that, they have an idea, and they and their staff go to Leg Council, the attorneys, and these attorneys at Leg Council, they draft the actual legal bills that go before the legislature, among other things. So this ruling comes from the nonpartisan Leg Council. Back to the story by Jesse Opoyan and Kelly Meyerhofer at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Legislative attorneys found the description of the business to be conducted in closed session at the special meeting of the Board of Regents, quote, does not appear to comply with the notice requirements for a closed-door session of a governmental body as interpreted by the Wisconsin Attorney General, unquote. The memo was prepared at the request of Representative Dora Drake, Democrat of Milwaukee. Drake, who leads the Legislative Black Caucus, had urged Regents to hold the meeting in public. Representative Drake told reporters she's calling on Dane County District Attorney Ismail Ozan and Attorney General Josh Call to investigate whether the open meeting law was violated. A spokesperson for UW System did not immediately respond to a request for comment on the memo. I bet they didn't. Back to the story. The memo's release comes as the Regents deliberated over a deal brokered by UW System President Jay Rothman and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The agenda for Tuesday's meeting said the board would, quote, deliberate and negotiate funding proposals and matters that require a closed session for competitive or bargaining reasons, unquote. That, according to Leg Council, does not provide sufficient information to comply with the State Department of Justice's guidelines for compliance with the state's open meeting law. Quote, it seems likely that a court would find that the Board of Regents notice fails to permit members of the public to determine whether a valid bargaining or competitive interest exists, nor give board members enough information to allow them to make an informed decision whether a vote to close the meeting, unquote, according to the memo. Therefore, Leg Council said, it appears the Board of Regents notice does not comply with the Attorney General's guidance regarding the proper notice of a closed-door session, unquote. Now, I know that's a little wordy and I'm not an attorney, but having worked in an attorney's office and for a law firm for a bit and having worked for a long time in the legislature, you know, sometimes legal and attorney speak does not necessarily make it easy for the layperson, the common person, to understand. So let me boil this down for you. Basically, what Leg Council is saying, the nonpartisan Leg Council is saying, is the Board of Regents does not appear to have provided a sufficient reason to go into closed session. Now, I spent a couple of terms on the local city council back in Richland Center, a small town, 5,000 people, but the same things apply. When you belong to a publicly elected body, and of course the Board of Regents isn't elected, but it is technically a form of public government. So they are subject to open meetings laws. And you have to have good reason to go into closed session. It can't just be, hey, we don't want the public to know what we're talking about, so we'll make up a closed session. You can't do that legally. And so you have to say, well, this is a personnel matter. This is a legal matter. We're negotiating things that are sensitive, and so there's a reason we're going into closed session. You can't just ignore the fact that you're going to go into a closed session, or you can't ignore the fact that there is public business to be done. So what Ledge Counsel is saying here is it appears, keyword appears, that the Board of Regents may have violated open meetings laws here. And I think it goes to my larger concern with this is Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, has a record of doing things behind closed doors. Remember a year ago when he announced the closure of the Richland campus, he never went to Richland County, never went to Richland Center, never talked to anybody at the local campus, never talked to the mayor, never talked to the county board person, never talked to the chair of the higher ed committee in Richland County. Just closed it. And when asked by media, including myself and others, to explain themselves, either the president's office or the chancellor, Tammy Avedovich, in Platteville, which Richland fell under, nobody wanted to talk. Nobody wanted to tell us what was being said behind closed doors. And now there's this memo by the great reporting, the Daily Cardinal, a couple of weeks ago. It came out that Jay Rothman, in memos, has advised his chancellors to cut liberal arts programs, liberal with a small L, liberal arts programs for low-income students. Again, these discussions are happening behind closed doors. So I 100% agree with Representative Drake, Democrat of Milwaukee. These things should be discussed in the light of day. These things should be discussed in public so we, the taxpayers who fund public education, including the University of Wisconsin system, can hear what's being said. You have to know the law and you have to adhere to the law. We have somebody on hold. We're going to talk to her after the break. Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show, who is an attorney. She'll weigh in on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 20 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along with us on a Friday, TGIF, December 15th. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, giving us the Week in Review, a lighter look at the Week in Review. Looking forward to having that conversation with him, Peter Rapine of EPOM's World, at the bottom of the hour. Right now, talking about this story by great reporting by Jesse Opoyan and Kelly Meyerhofer in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about this meeting from this past week on Tuesday, where the Board of Regents went into a closed session and deliberated and then changed their vote on this deal between President Rothman and Robin Voss. Joining us on the phone right now, the host of the Maggie Dawn Show every evening from 6 until 7 across Civic Media, the wonderful Maggie Dawn. Maggie, thanks so much for listening in and calling in. I tell people, you know, I work for a law firm. I'm not an attorney, so I like to put that out in front. You actually are an attorney. And I know we've talked to this show and others, including yours, about the larger issue here of this deal between Rothman and Voss. And I guess I want to set that aside for a second and just focus in on this issue that Representative Drake, Dora Drake from Democrat of Milwaukee, has brought up and had Ledge Counsel, the nonpartisan attorneys for the legislature, look at this situation on Tuesday. Ledge Counsel says keyword may, the Board of Regents may have violated open meetings laws by what they did on Tuesday. I'm a big fan of discussing things in the light of day. Maggie, as an attorney, what's your take on this?
So I think there's one or two things that are probably going on here, and they may be occurring simultaneously. The first one is the fact that it is a very general statement of negotiating over funding. Well, what negotiation, right? Mm-hmm. What specific funding are you talking about? So there's the issue of specificity as it's required under the Wisconsin Open Meetings Law. I think that it was probably generally stated in that notice and maybe legally insufficiently generally stated, because it is not clear under the Open Meetings Law whether negotiating with a fellow branch of government or a legislative negotiation, if you will, is actually covered by the negotiations exception to the Open Meetings Law. So it's really clear, like, if they were negotiating with the architecture and construction firms that are going to build the new engineering building under the steel, right, that would be unquestionably a proper subject to have in closed session because you're trying to negotiate deal terms.
Mm-hmm.
This, they're trying to expand that basic idea to say it's a negotiation with Robin Voss and our discussion of whether or not to take that deal. My argument would be that's precisely what the Open Meetings Law is supposed to give air and transparency to. So it'll be very interesting to see if anybody initiates a legal action to question that closed session usage.
Now, see, this
very,
is,
very fascinating topic.
This is great insight, and this is why it's great to talk to someone who's actually an attorney. So what you're saying, if I'm understanding right, is, and again, I spent a couple of terms on city council, a small city council, and the same rules apply, but of course it's a much smaller stage.
Yep.
But what you're saying is that because these negotiations were with another branch of public government, that you don't get the same consideration as if you're negotiating with a private builder on a legal contract.
Yeah, I'm saying that that's not exactly clear. Like, does that count under, there is a per se exception under the Open Meetings Law for negotiations. It clearly applies to when you're negotiating price of services with a third party vendor or contractor. Here, it's with Robin Voss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a minute, isn't that precisely what the Open Meetings Law is supposed to bring transparency regarding, right?
Yeah.
So that's, I think, why they may have used a notice language of the closed session that was so general. Because they don't want to say, oh, we're negotiating with the legislature and the assembly speaker, because that looks a little bit more iffy as an exception to the Open Meetings Law.
That's great insight. I appreciate it so much. So Representative Dora Drake, Democrat of Milwaukee, who brought this to the attention, asked for this opinion from Ledge Counsel. She's now calling on Dane County District Attorney Ismael Ozan and Attorney General Josh Call to investigate this. Realize, of course, that you personally don't have investigative powers. But I mean, if you, let's just play along for a second. Do you believe that this is something that should be investigated for possible misconduct here?
Well, it's interesting. My office, my day job, and today's a vacation day for me, getting ready for the holidays, which is why I'm calling in. In Milwaukee County, my office, and me specifically, we are the investigative and enforcement mechanism for open meetings law in Milwaukee County. So I'm effectively Ismael Ozan here in Milwaukee County. This, to me, would merit an investigation. I wouldn't presume wrongdoing or even bad faith,
mm-hmm.
right? But, hey, this needs to be investigated and perhaps some retraining or education of the regents as well as their lawyers, because some lawyer told the Board of Regents this was okay.
Yeah, that's what's disturbing to me. And now I'll ask you to put your talk show host hat on for a second. Give us your take, Maggie.
Sure.
Dawn. You know, again, this has been something we've been following for over a year, whether it was the closure of the Richland campus, Washington, Fond du Lac, or this great reporting by the Daily Cardinal a couple of weeks ago, this memo leaked out by President Rothman saying that he wanted to cut liberal arts programs for the low income. All these decisions have largely been made behind closed doors without public input. There was never a discussion with the community at Richland County before that university was closed. I just think that Wisconsinites are strong enough if you tell them the truth. And if there really are financial problems, or if the mission of the University of Wisconsin system needs to be adjusted, we can handle that. But the lack of transparency and these decisions being made behind closed doors that affect us financially and for our educational future, that's the abhorrent part to me, Maggie, is the lack of transparency. What say you?
I completely agree. Scott Walker in the Republican-controlled legislature, after it was gerrymandered in 2010, actually tried to alter the Wisconsin idea in state law. And that, once it became clear that that's what they were trying to do, right, there was great public outrage. If there are questions about the business model, funding, tuition questions, about what the curriculum should be, those are questions in a public university system that should be had in public. Discussions of those questions should be had in public. It's really unfortunate that for whatever reason, President Rothman doesn't feel like we're capable of engaging with these complex issues, when most Wisconsinites are very proud of our university system and always have been, and can very well engage with, frankly, the challenging moments of our time here when it comes to higher education.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Maggie. Thank you so much for the insight. Thanks for the legal perspective on this. Very helpful in digesting this and understanding it. And of course, what's coming up? We had about 30-40 seconds left here. What's coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show tonight?
We got a best of replay because today is a vacation day for me, and I've got to get those Christmas cookies done. So you will be hearing a little best of this afternoon.
All right.
And I will then be popping on to the Devils, of course. They roped me in their 5 o'clock hour. So if you want to hear more from me with the gents, that'll be where I am.
Thank you, Maggie. I really appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Happy holidays to you. Maggie Dawn every night from 6, happy 6 to 7. Stay tuned. We have Peter Rapine next.
Popping up, popping down, burrowing and making the funny little sounds. Guarding the ground, rooting all around, watch you drop bones in the prairie dog town.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is great to have you along with us. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on TGIF Friday, December 15th. Time once again for our wonderful bi-weekly visit with the fantastic Peter Rapine. He is the managing editor of EBOM's World. You can find all these great stories and things we're going to talk about today at ebomsworld.com. Peter, thanks for joining us here, and happy holidays to you.
Same to you, Todd. Thanks for having me back. I always always look forward to coming on.
Well, we look forward to having you on because, you know, there are big stories. There's a lot happening in the world. And sometimes the stories that make us kind of chuckle and are the most crazy, they don't make the nightly news, you understand? They don't make the above-the-fold headlines. But, you know, they're equally as important to our livelihood.
I agree. And I think they should be above the fold.
Right. I mean, let's just get right into it because Mr. Zahmer's played this music about a prairie dog. This is the one that I really want to hear about the most. The headline is, dude smuggles two otters and a prairie dog in his underwear. What is all of this about?
Yeah, so this story comes to us from Thailand, where a guy did exactly what the headline says. He was caught going through security with two otters and a prairie dog stuffed in his underpants. And the only thing that makes a story like this better is that the fact that the TSA, or whatever they're called in Thailand, got photos of the guy. So there's a photo in the article where they're stretching out the front of his underpants, and you can see two otters stuffed down in his pants. I mean, hey, right?
Are you well endowed, or is that two otters in your pants? I mean,
exactly. You happy to see me, sir? Like, please step aside. We need to talk. And they also have photos of one of the otters after they've taken it out of this guy's pants, and it looks very shocked.
It looks the like poor the otter, otter right? Was, I mean, the yeah, poor exactly. otter. Who wants to be? I mean, really? That's just
and,
close
you know,
quarters.
Certain countries have. Yeah, and certain countries have all sorts of like laws and regulations about what types of animals are allowed to be taken in and out. I know Australia is really particular about this type of stuff. Though I'm not really sure if those rules apply to otters. It's also questionable why he was trying to smuggle otters. Obviously, the animal trade is a pretty big one.
Right.
But it's the first time I've heard of a story like this. Yeah.
Well, and a prairie dog is not necessarily, unless it was a baby, a prairie dogs are not a real small animal. And they're a rodent.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to put a rodent like a prairie dog, down there? I mean, you're putting your reproductive freedom at risk.
I guess it's better than, trying to smuggle snakes in your underpants or, crabs. Like what? Like, this guy was like, maybe he was just like the otter mule and they had like a bunch of animals laid out. They're like, okay, we got the scorpions. We've got some rattlesnakes. We've got some little, chihuahuas.
But Peter, who amongst us back in college didn't have a few crabs in our pants back in the day?
Exactly. I mean, he's kind of like a hero. We like right. to, put spotlights on people like this, the everyday kind of person who might be doing something slightly illegal, but they're doing something funny. And we should celebrate a guy like this, I think.
Ask the otter, the prairie dog, But and again, these are actual stories, actual headlines around the world. This is not made up stuff that you and your staff at EPOM's World scour the headlines and find these great stories.
Yeah. No, we have the photos to prove it.
Poor otter. I wonder if the prairie dog's going to go to rehabilitation in South Dakota.
Probably something.
The prairie dog's just get me some fresh air for God's sake.
Exactly. Another fun headline we have this week that might have some international politics implications. A man was arrested. He drove his jet ski from Florida to Cuba with the attempts of starting a quote unquote revolution, and immediately got arrested. And they found on him a couple guns stashed in the jet ski and some extra clips. We're not really sure what the guy was thinking. But yeah, it's been a busy week for people trying to smuggle things across international lines when they shouldn't be.
Well, and we hear this a lot over the years of people starting in Cuba, people refugees wanting to escape and mm-hmm. go and risk their life for freedom to get to Florida. But mm-hmm. rarely do we hear this the other way around.
Rarely do you hear it the other way around. I think his biggest mistake was doing it alone. He probably should have had at least five of his buddies.
Yeah.
Everyone on their own jet ski, right? You can see the movie potential, the blockbuster potential for a story like this.
I mean, can you just imagine the security, the Cuban security guards, their binoculars looking out across, they're like, what the heck? There's some idiot, one guy on a jet ski. What is he's going to take over Cuba on a jet ski?
Hey, crazier things I guess have happened.
At least he wasn't smuggling an otter in his pants. I got that going for him.
At least. I mean, hey, yeah, we might not know. He might have been.
Do we know what happened to the dude?
Well, he was arrested. I think he's being charged.
I'm sure he is.
As one would for trying to, start a revolution. Yeah.
They don't take kindly to that there in Cuba.
No.
All right, what else we got here?
One of my favorite headlines or stories of the week was everyone knows Chris Cuomo, mm-hmm. the embroiled CNN, former CNN anchor. Well, he has a new show on News Nation. And
yes.
If you know what that is, good for you. not many people did before this week. So he had on a Tourette's influencer, a woman named Baylen Dupree. And she's on the show. She's talking about what life is like being, someone with Tourette's syndrome. Oftentimes, she talks about how people have accused her of faking her syndrome, right? It's kind of one that people, maybe we'd all like to say an F you to, a teacher or a coworker or mm-hmm. a friend we don't like, and then go, oh, sorry, I can't control myself. Well, she's in the interview and she starts dropping F bombs left and right. On the air to Chris. And she's saying, F you, Chris, F you, Chris, banana up your butt. Oh, little baby wiener. She's got all of these great roasts. Uh-huh. And to his credit, he does his best not to laugh. He's trying to hold back the giggles. But it was just a good kind of like wholesome moment. Our headline was, Woman with Tourette's inadvertently roast Chris Cuomo on air.
Do you think that it was actually, because I know like David Begno, the great reporter at CBS, he has Tourette's. He's spoken openly about it and on medication. Mm-hmm. He has done stories of people that legitimately have this. Do you think this woman actually has this or is just faking it to get publicity and do these kind of crazy things?
Well, if she is faking it, she's doing a bang up job. It seems like everything that we looked into her, it seems like she really is a Tourette's disability advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so she got the word out and she also got to tell Chris Cuomo to F off to his face.
And there's probably a lot of people, we won't go into all of Chris Cuomo's history, but there's probably a lot of people that, feel the same and wish they could say it to his face. So.
Exactly,
good on her.
Yeah, 100%.
Good on her. Here's, and we've talked about this in this program a lot. Swifties, you got Taylor Swift and you've got Travis Kelce. Of course, they came to Green Bay a couple of weeks ago, and Taylor Swift suffered her first loss while watching a Chiefs game. The Packers beat him. But here we have Taylor Swift news in EPOM's world, and we're talking to Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's world.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if your audience is familiar, but flight data is open source, and so anyone can go out there and look and track flights. It kind of became really big news when Elon first took over Twitter, because there was a page called Elon Flight Tracker.
Yes.
That was tracking, his whereabouts. And Elon claimed that it was people were sharing his assassination coordinates.
Right.
And the same guy that ran that account also runs a Taylor Swift flight tracking Instagram page and Twitter account. And as we know, Taylor is traveling to see Travis play.
Yes.
Well, according to the Taylor Swift flight tracker, Taylor Swift emitted more CO2 in the last week. Our headline reads 3 days, and most Americans will emit in an entire year. Just let that sit for a second. She traveled to and from his game, emitting a total of 18 tons of CO2 on her private jet. For context, the average American household emits a total of 7 tons in a single calendar year. So almost twice the amount. And the kicker is that her boyfriend's team didn't even win. They lost. Taylor is endangering the future of humanity, and he can't even win. They can't even win a football game. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
For the record, I'm pro Taylor Swift. I don't need the Swifties at me. Swifties coming after me. Because she signed up a lot of people to vote, thousands of people to vote. She does. And, she's a great role model for young women. But maybe Taylor, don't always fly everywhere on your private jet.
Yeah, watch the game from home like the rest of us, right? Our kicker on the piece is, hey, we're not here to tell Taylor how to live her life, but if you're going to put the future of our species in danger, at least your team better win. Like, come on.
If you're going to endanger the human species. Okay, we better move on, because I can't upset the Swifties. Here's is fantastic. Peter Rapalm, managing editor of EPOM's World. A lot of these are national headlines. Here's a Wisconsin headline.
Yes.
Wisconsin woman shot after sneaking a gun into an MRI screening. Explain.
It's pretty self-explanatory. Woman goes into MRI screening. Person running MRI screening says, hey, you can't have anything metal on you. Woman goes, okay. MRI screener goes, no, we really mean it. We hope you don't have a gun on you. And she goes, oh, no. Why would I have a gun on me? I'm here for an MRI. I'm not in danger. Well, turns out she had a gun on her and it went off and it shot her in the butt. It doesn't get really more American than that. That's probably like the most like, yes, this is my freedom, my right to shoot myself in the tuchus whenever I damn please.
Does it say where this happened at? I'm trying to scan it through. Like, I want to know, like what, where, what town she was in when this happened.
I need to refresh myself.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It doesn't, I mean, it doesn't matter, but again, who takes a firearm, a handgun, to a doctor's appointment, let alone taking it to, and for those, an MRI is basically a CAT scan where you get put in a magnetized tunnel. And my understanding, Peter, is that it was the magnetism of the MRI machine that discharged the gun.
Yes. Yes, you are correct.
So she has this thing, like, I don't know, in the back of her panties or whatever.
In her pocket, I would assume. I mean,
to shoot her in the buttocks has got to be the... So, I mean, one guy's carrying otters, you know, in the front of his pants. This woman's carrying, you know, guns in the back of her
guns
pants.
Guns in the back, yeah. I mean, in her defense, right, if you're going to shoot yourself in the butt on accident, you might as well do it at the doctor's office.
Well, you know,
you're kind of already there. It's like, oh, crap, it went off. And you're like, wait, I'm at the doctor. This is kind of convenient.
Again, so, I just... And I think I read later in the story that, like, you know, people, they're like, well, we ask people, are they carrying or a lot of things, but we don't always specifically ask about guns. But I guess now we have to.
Now you have to. Yeah, you probably have to put up a sign somewhere. There's always a sign somewhere that is so ridiculous that you have to think, wait, what crazy person was the reason that this sign had to be made? And there's going to be a sign of this MRI in the future saying, please leave your guns at the door.
Well, it's going to be like we talked about the TSA earlier. You know, I've gone through TSA lines where, whatever, I've had a belt buckle or something I forgot to take off, whatever. You have to step aside, and then you got to have the hand pat down, you know, which, you know, usually is the most exciting part of my trip. But anyway, you know, after you, and so now you're going to have to be patted down before you have an MRI.
Maybe it's the way it should be.
Maybe it's the way it should be. It sounds like a date to me. Anyway, we'll come back and talk more headlines from EPOM's World with Peter Rapine, Managing Editor, The Week in Review. Back after this on the Todd Awful Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Awful Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 now before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour, network news, followed by a quick check of weather. And then our friend and colleague, the great Matt Flynn, will take these airwaves with Matt Flynn Direct, taking you to the front lines of history. He reminds us, history being made every minute of every day. Matt Flynn takes us there like nobody else can. He's an attorney. Two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Matt Flynn, will be on after the news at the top of the hour. Stay tuned for that. Right now, we are enjoying our bi-weekly visit with the fantastic Peter Rapine. He is the managing editor of EBombsWorld.com, a great compilation. If you're looking at CNN or MSNBC or anything else and you're thinking, why does the news always bring me down? Just go on over to EBombs World. That's E as in Edward, B as in boy, A-U, M as in Mary, S, and then world.com, EBombs World. And you can find these kind of stories that are true, but are going to make you smile. Peter, we were talking about these headlines. One more here that we have on the list, Panera. What's going on at Panera?
Yeah, so the Panera CEO, well, if your audience doesn't know, there's been a lot actually going on with Panera. We have a couple stories about them this week. One of them is actually really sad. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but Panera has this thing called the charged lemonade, where it's lemonade that they sell that has really high caffeine content.
I did not know that.
Two people have sued Panera over wrongful deaths.
Really?
Two people have been associated with dying after having had the drink.
Good gosh.
The internet, you know, as the internet is, has kind of both laughed at it and kind of taken it very seriously.
It's tragic.
It's become a meme where people are calling it, you know, the death lemonade.
Good Lord.
Really sad. Yeah. Hopefully Panera, if you're listening, you can do something about it. But the founder, in a different story this week, kind of got a lot of flack for saying something that is actually pretty true. And I think it was kind of a typical case of, a lot of websites running with a salacious headline when in reality is kind of what wasn't what was going on. So he basically said that employees today don't care about making money for shareholders. And the implication in Business Insider and most of the places I covered it was that he's saying that people should care about making money for their shareholders, when that's not what he was saying. He was saying people don't.
We have to
accept that, right? We have to work with a new generation of workers who, right, want to have work-life balance, that don't want to be taken advantage of, that really don't care about the how much money their CEOs are making any given year.
Right.
So our headline is, right, Panera founder says employees don't care about making money for shareholders. And he's right.
And he's right.
Surprise, surprise.
No, he's 100% right. Before I was doing this gig, I was doing a gig. I was a junior manager for a retail store, a national retail store, and you'd hire kids in high school or college, and you're 100% right. They don't, I mean, they're like, I'm not here to make more money for the CEO or whatever.
And I think most people, most employees, most workers, no matter where you are in the ranks, right, you want to contribute to something that's successful.
Right.
I think we all, you know, want to have security. We want to feel like the work that we do is valued, and that we're working towards a common goal that, right, is not only ensuring the bottom line of the company you work for, but is ensuring your longevity and the future of your own employment, right? I don't think he's saying that people don't care about that stuff. But when it comes down to, you know, if the company's going to make, right, if you work for Warner Brothers, do you really care if they make $4 billion or $5 billion in any given year? No. Why would you?
Right.
You want them to make good movies. You want them to give you healthcare, you know, create a nice working environment where you can be proud. So it's this headline is probably one of the very, very rare items of ours where we're actually defending someone in his position.
Right.
So it doesn't happen too often.
Once in a while, a little serious news over there at EPUB's World. Mr. Zomers, you have time. Cue up that music we talked about on that moose story, and because we're going to get to that in a second. But first of all, the story in EPUB's World, B-Train now approaching. Loose bull seen running down the tracks. This is real.
Yeah, so yesterday, a loose bull disrupted New Jersey transit for almost an hour. I haven't followed up on it today, so I'm not exactly sure if there's information about where the bull came from. But at the time that we reported it yesterday, the authorities had no idea where it came from. It was just seen running down the train.
A full-grown bull with horns running down the train tracks in New Jersey.
And he looks really cute. He's, you know, he's kind of scared. And if you've ever ridden the New Jersey Transit, you know he probably was more on time than the trains typically are. But the good update on this story is that the bull was taken without it being hurt. There wasn't much damage done. And the bull is being taken to an animal sanctuary. So I think we can call it a win-win for everyone involved.
I'm not sure if you saw this, Peter, but in a real story that originated in Wisconsin, another animal not so lucky. It was a bull elk who was from northern Wisconsin. And he was going all over the state looking for love. He was a horny moose on the loose. And he appeared here in the Madison area, I believe in McFarland. And then he went to Illinois. He was looking for love in the wrong places. And the poor moose got hit by a semi, the elk, and he was killed.
Oh my gosh.
And it just goes to prove, I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times, don't go in the dead of night to Illinois looking for love when you're horny. Because it's not going to end well down there in Illinois.
Words to the wise.
I mean, it's a tragic story for the elk, but I kind of thought there was a lot of people that were like, oh, this is terrible. This is because he was like a DNR tracked moose or elk or whatever, And you know, but it's nature taking its course. I mean, deer get hit all the time. We don't go, look, that's life. Sometimes you get lucky with an otter in your pants, and sometimes you get hit by a car.
Yeah, sometimes you meet the love of your life. Sometimes you meet an 18-wheeler.
Anything else? About a minute left, Peter. Anything else for us before we wrap up this week in review?
So just a classic, what we like to call a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
We have a short video here of a bird that has learned how to communicate with its Alexa. And the thing that the bird loves to do is it loves to ask its Alexa to fart. So it's really a minute video of a bird, a parrot going, Alexa, fart. Alexa, fart. And the Alexa goes, pfft. And then goes, if you would like a juicier fart, please ask for a juicy one. And the bird goes, Alexa, fart. Alexa, fart.
See, that's the kind of bird I wish I could give as a gift to certain people.
I really hope that this triggered somebody's device.
Oh, right? Yeah, right? Somebody. Yeah. I didn't even know Alexa could do that.
It can. You totally can.
Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, always a pleasure. Thanks for all the work. Thanks for making us laugh. And thanks for joining us this week.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Stay tuned. Matt Flynn is next. See you next week.